Bruce, it's been a big week in news at Facebook. The company announced the rollout of a wholesale redesign of the site on all of its platforms, and the company has reportedly told the Federal Trade Commission that it's opened a new federal oversight of its privacy practices. That and, as of yesterday, a number of controversial figures like Alex Jones and Louis Farrakhan have been banned from all of the company's platforms. Steve Knoll is a professor of marketing at Madison College. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
Great. Thanks for having me back.
Well, there kept being more stuff to talk about related to Facebook. Let's start with, I use the phrase Facebook and its platforms.
Right.
When Facebook does something, it's not necessarily just that. They own other social media things that people are out there using.
Correct. Yeah. The three big ones, it's Facebook, obviously, is the big one. But Instagram is also owned by Facebook. And then Messenger. A lot of people just use Messenger as a standalone app to communicate with people. All three of them are part of the Facebook ecosystem. In fact, there's talk about merging all three into one product, but that just seems kind of contrary to the strengths and weaknesses to the products.
Now, let's start with this redesign. Now, this is something that affects, you know, a billion plus users at this
2.4 billion monthly users.
Yeah, so there you go. Lots of people are going to see this change.
Yes.
What is the change?
So what they're doing is they've already started rolling it out on the phone apps. It's a less of an emphasis on the timeline streaming and more about groups and events. So the idea behind it is, there's a lot of people, they go on Facebook and they end up seeing stuff that, you know, it makes them angry, makes them stressed out and all that. And if you start a group and put yourself into a group, you have better control over the other people in it. And you have more of a shared commonality. And that's what they're looking for, is by focusing more on a group, they're hoping that there'll be less conflict amongst people in the group, and also giving you easier ways to maybe meet people who are also part of the group that you don't know in the real world.
And part of the deal with groups is if I want to start a group, I can make it as open to the public or as closed,
right,
and I have to approve every single person as
correct.
I want to. This idea, it's like a walled garden within Facebook, and it's really different than what they've done in the past, right?
Sure, yeah. They've always been much more, you know, as open as possible. The more open, the better. And that kind of plays into the whole, the more open you are, the more information they can mine from you to, you know, put an ad in front of you. But with groups, yeah, you've always been able to kind of control the level of privacy. And I've been using groups for years for a variety of different functions, family stuff and events and other projects that I've worked on. You put everyone in a group and then you can make it private. And then everyone can share information using Facebook, but only the people in the group see it. So it's been a nice utility. But that's now going to become the main focus of Facebook. And it'll be interesting to see how people adapt from this open world concept to more silos.
You were starting to touch on this, I think, but what problems does Facebook see this as fixing for users and I guess probably ultimately for Facebook in the long run?
Well, and part of it is this whole fake news phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, when we say fake news, there's a big difference between opinion news and actual real fake news. And a lot of people use the term fake news and they really mean opinion news. But there are industries out there. There are countries, Macedonia, for example, has a whole export system of generating fake news content and, you know, making tens of
big
thousands
money
of dollars.
Like that is the local economy.
That is the local economy. Absolutely. It's a fascinating story when you look at how this tiny little country has become like this, you know, factory of fake news. So a lot of that is delivered through the timeline system. And a lot of people, of course, were seeing this stuff, thinking it was real, getting all angry about it, sharing it to all their friends, not even realizing that they've been tricked for a variety of reasons. Some of them are malicious, some of them are pranksters, whatever. They're still, you know, sharing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. So the move is to then try to get that, you know, out of the main view. When you log on to Facebook, you will be seeing, I don't want to say vetted, it's not really vetted information, but it's information from a more of a contained group that you know what the group is and what the nature of the group is. And so if you see something in that group that's completely out of character to the topic of that group, it'll allow you to say, hey, this shouldn't be here, or at least hopefully realize, hey, why is this here? And then suspect it a little bit, do a little digging, and then realize, oh, this is, you know, a bot or something, you know, that's just malicious. That's never going to stop. We are never going to get away from people doing this. They're just trying to minimize it versus eliminating it. They can't eliminate it.
Steve Knoll is with us from Madison College, talking about a bunch of news related to Facebook, including this big change. It's already starting to phase in, going away from the infinite timeline that you scroll down forever to more of a groups-focused effort. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea? We heard from some of you earlier this week that you love the groups. You're starting your own. Love to hear from you about that. And if you find the current model of Facebook, the timeline where people show up and argue with you, frustrating or annoying, or you want it to stay, call now at 800-642-1234. Segueing into some of the other news, Steve, Facebook will still be able to take this stuff we do and figure out a way, I'm guessing, to make money off of it.
Oh, they have to. I mean, that's their core business model is, you know, you are the product. That's the old marketing saying. If something's free, you're the product. And nobody is going to pay, you know, $5 a month for Facebook. People have been made that very, very clear. So the business model behind Facebook is not going to change. But the big question is, you know, they say that there's more of a impact on being more private and secure, but that runs counter to this get as much information about you so we can put relevant advertisers in front of you business model that they need to survive. So that's the big long-term, how is this going to work, is right now groups are pretty contained, but as it rolls out, are groups going to be more saturated with advertising? Will the advertising be directed to individuals in the group, or will the advertising be directed at the topic of the group? You know, these are questions that we're still kind of waiting. The rollout just started. Some people aren't even seeing it yet. Mm-hmm. It's starting out on phone apps. It hasn't even made it to desktop apps, but of course most people...
So I haven't seen it yet.
Yes. Yeah,
Most people. Sorry,
yeah.
Steve.
Well, it's okay. That's okay. Most people haven't, you know... They still use the phone apps.
Sure.
And even then, depending on what version you're on, it's a gradual rollout. But probably the next few weeks, it'll get around to everybody having it.
Now, we mentioned the number of billions of Facebook users.
2.4 billion.
There's also billions in the news. A fine may be on the way for Facebook, based in part, as I understand it, on how Facebook has used our data and who they've shared it with in the past. What's going on?
Correct. So part of this is the Wild West. Technology travels very fast, and the law tends to lag behind. So we're in kind of a gray area here where there has been talk about, you know, the government coming in and leveraging, you know, consumer fines against Facebook for not protecting people's data. You know, and a lot of people say, oh, Facebook sells your data to advertisers. That's actually not true. You have to understand Facebook is an ad broker. So an advertiser gives an ad to Facebook, and then Facebook takes that ad and puts it in front of a relevant user. They are not selling that user data to a business, according to the model. Now, of course, what has happened is through various things, some of that data has gotten out, you know, either through hacks or through, you know, of course, the infamous Cambridge Analytica scandal. And so the government is kind of stepping in and saying, you know, hey, maybe we really need to look at this and punish them with a fine. Europe has been doing this. You know, the EU is a couple years ahead of the U.S. in terms of like privacy laws. So a lot of what we're seeing in the U.S. is stuff that started to show up. And Facebook's already had, you know, hefty fines. So is Google. Google is actually much more aggressive with data mining than Facebook is. But of course, Facebook is the famous one, so it gets all the press.
And part of the deal, there's reporting anyway that Facebook is talking to the Federal Trade Commission. One outcome might be not just this fine, but that there are going to be new privacy czars or something like that Facebook.
Yeah,
This is not a done deal yet, I don't think, but what are we hearing about?
Well, that's kind of an interesting idea, because the whole idea of, you know, people regulating this stuff, Facebook should have been doing it right away. So they've kind of been caught in a catch-22. You know, they're saying we're now going to have people who their sole job is to be, you know, these, you know, strongholds of data. But yet they also say, but yet our systems are pretty secure. So I think what they're doing is telling the politicians what the politicians want to hear. But I think they're just trying to do what they've always been done, maybe just with a little better eye. I think that's Facebook's big problem, is that they've been a little naive. They really think that, you know, people will do the good. When you have a thing, people always do the right thing and the good thing, and that's not true. Welcome to humanity.
We'll watch how that comes out with the FTC. Let's bring out a caller now on Facebook groups. Scott is with us in Madison. Scott, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you think?
I love the groups. I'm in and created a number of them. We've got, you know, the extended family group for keeping track of, you know, events like Christmas and such. We've got a neighborhood group for setting up play days for the kids. But my favorite is I'm in a international group for dads to connect. And it's got 14,000 members.
Wow. Yeah.
And so made a lot of friends through that, got a lot of advice and support, and shared a lot of advice and support with that. We've got subgroups of that, like Dads of Twins and Multiples, Do-It-Yourself Project Dads, special, you know, dads with special kids with special needs. And then we have local geographic groups, which are a subset of that. So we've got a Wisconsin group.
Scott, thanks a lot for bringing that up. That reminds me of the original Yahoo TV ads where it was showing, you know, the punk rocker whose friends made fun of him for knitting. Online he finds the knitting group. That's
sure. And
now, did Facebook create this really on purpose, or it seems like it was there and then the users made this thing happen?
Yeah, and that's the interesting is groups is really an old Facebook concept. When you talk about the early days of Facebook, everyone, even before they had pages, a lot of businesses started using groups as a business tool. And then Facebook created business pages, and then groups kind of started to fade away. And I think Facebook wanted groups to fade away, but the users found them and kind of resuscitated them and really made them and those are really good examples of how the strength of social media is taking geography out of the equation. You can meet people with common interests all over the world. That's really the strength of social media with that. And you know, they're talking about things like neighborhood groups. That's probably one of the biggest growing area in these groups is neighborhood groups. But of course that brings up a whole different level of privacy, because you know that neighbor on the other side of the block, or now they know what you're doing and all that. And is that creepy or not?
We're talking to Steve Knoll from Madison College about some big news from Facebook, a new look for their platform, some new federal privacy oversight maybe on the way, and we'll get into yesterday's move to block a number of controversial users they called dangerous. You can join in at 800-642-1234. This new look at Facebook, it's rolling in now. Have you seen the change on your phone yet? What do you think about it? If so, does the new focus on groups and events line up with the way you use or want to use Facebook? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Steve Knoll from Madison College about some of the big news coming out of Facebook this week, including a big change in their look, less focus on the timeline. It'll still be there. More focus on groups. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this idea, this change, this focus on groups? You do the groups on Facebook. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also share other Facebook-related questions and thoughts. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page along the way. Before we get into this big ban on some users of Facebook, I want to take another call. Steve, Dan is with us in Drummond. Dan, hi.
Hi. One of the things that I find frustrated is there's a website called Dogstar. And before you get to go to the story, it sends you to a page that's trying to sell things. And I just find that so frustrating. Story is great, but then, as I say, there's like some of the things, it says 7 incredible weight loss habits or impressive home remedies and treatment of appendicitis.
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. So even if the content looks nice, it might take us through some weird stuff to get there.
Yeah, that's referred to as an interstitial ad, where they show you an ad before you get to the content.
Uh-huh.
And it is kind of frustrating. And advertisers have to kind of balance out, you know, how annoying they can be versus, you know, having to have the ads there in order to get to pay for the content.
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. Now, I want to touch on this, one of the more recent stories. Facebook unrolled a big ban on what they call dangerous users, Louis Farrakhan, Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, I think was one, Laura Loomer. What was their case? What was the case they made for removing them from the platform?
So part of it is Facebook has always had kind of an anti-hate speech policy. And a lot of these users have had temporary bans, and Also, some bans on like Instagram versus Facebook. And yesterday they pretty much said these are going to be permanent. And I think it's a good move. I think all these people do have a reputation of you know, there's a big difference between free speech and hate speech. And there are people out there that want to purvey hate speech by packaging it as free speech. That's what these people are doing. It's really, these are groups, they are well-documented groups. And I think Facebook taking this step of permanent banning is a good thing that they probably should have done a long time ago. Twitter has also done similar bans. Facebook had banned some on Facebook, but not Instagram or the other way around. So there wasn't anything consistent. But the big news yesterday was these bans are permanent and it's across all the platforms. The big question on that, though, is who at Facebook is making the decisions. You know, the ones that they announced were people that had a pretty cut and dry case history. There wasn't a lot of ambiguity there. But going forward, who is making that judge? You know, who watches the watchers?
And the ACLU had raised concerns, mm-hmm. Kind of a slippery slope it argument. Is. Even if you say, okay, yes, maybe these are valid sure. cases, where do you draw the line? Do you decide that one part of a political perspective mm-hmm. is good or bad? People are saying, well, what about if they start to ban Congress people if they sure. cross the line into hate speech?
So right. yep.
what kind of things, we can't read their minds, but what, right. do you, what kind of things would they be looking at?
Right.
There at
yeah, or if it's a one-time incident versus a pattern, I would think that it would be a pattern of stuff. And all the people that were banned yesterday had years and years of patterns. So I don't think there's any question about that group. The big question is going forward, what other groups or individuals could potentially, you know, be kicked off the biggest platform on earth?
And it's a big controversy on Twitter. I mean, a lot of people in their profile name as their middle name take, quote, ban the Nazis from Twitter
right,
or something
yeah.
like that. There sure. are concerns about lots of, and that tends to be more anonymous users, I think, with
correct.
Various accounts.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Technically, on Facebook, you are supposed to use your real name, mm-hmm. and that's even a source of controversy.
Right.
And Facebook backed down on that policy a while ago. But Twitter, everything is handles, you know. I'm on Twitter. I teach marketing. It doesn't even have doesn't even say Steve in it. So, you know, I could hide behind that if I wanted to. So it does give a little level of anonymity, which does tend to bring out the bad in a lot of people.
Now, what other kind of, I don't know if you've been watching the reactions on this story mm-hmm. since the bans, what kind of reactions are you seeing out there?
Well, it depends on your opinion of these people. Obviously, a lot of these people are more on the right-wing conservative side, and there has been a little bit of chatter about, you know, who's next. In fact, that was one of the statements. It just said, who's next? So certainly the mainstream right-wing media is kind of staying away from this story because I think they realize how volatile it is. Certainly people on the left are cheering it. You know, but again, it really comes down to, you know, your personal feelings on the left or right and how you feel about these people that got banned.
Talking to Steve Knoll from Madison College. He's a professor of marketing there, looking at some recent big news about Facebook, a new look there, some bans on what they say are dangerous promoters of hate speech and possible privacy-related fines coming to Facebook. Okay, we're talking Facebook a lot. There are other social media outlets, but Facebook is the biggie.
It is the big one. Yep,
by far. But do the decisions they make have a domino effect onto platforms, other platforms, even the ones they don't own?
Yeah. And you have to remember, Facebook is also Instagram and Messenger.
Right.
And that alone is pretty significant. But they will. I mean, they are the biggest player out there. I'm sure Google is watching what's going on. Snapchat, Twitter, they're all watching what's going on. You know, Twitter's been a little more aggressive in, you know, looking at this problem and attacking a little more head on. Snapchat really hasn't gotten too much into this because Snapchat's main demo is a lot younger people. You know, these are people that are not necessarily, quite honestly, voting a lot. And a lot of this controversy is they're trying to influence voting, and they're going to the areas where you can affect those people. And, you know, that demographic is just not seen on something like Snapchat. Eventually they will age up, and as they get older, you will leave Snapchat behind and go to Facebook. But people who use Snapchat don't want to hear that.
And in the way that people use other social media services, does there seem to be this gravitation toward, hey, I'm doing this stuff within some kind of group that I've selected to be in, as mm-hmm. opposed to I'm sending stuff out to the universe?
Correct. And that's the whole idea behind groups, is that people will feel a little more comfortable comfortable, that is more of a, there's kind of rules. It's not just this unchained arena where all this crazy stuff is going on, that there's kind of like, I'm in a group about a specific topic. All the conversations will be about that topic. So, you know, obviously the, you know, Game of Thrones, for example, there are many, many groups about Game of Thrones. And if you want to go in and just talk about that, you can do that. And, you know, if people are posting thing about politics and all that that aren't related to the Game of Thrones, they can get kicked out of the group. And, you know, these groups are moderated. They have moderators. You can report stuff. People can be kicked out. They can be banned. So there's a little more control of the content of the speech. And I think that's the hope, is that focusing a little more, you're not going to have all these different opinions coming from left field and hitting you on your timeline and freaking you out.
Steve, thanks a lot for joining us. We'll leave it there for now.
Cool. Thank you.
That's Steve Knoll, marketing professor at Madison College. He was with us today to talk about Facebook's recent move to ban a handful of what they describe as dangerous users like Alex Jones and Louis Farrakhan. We also talked about new federal privacy oversight of the company and a big change, a new look for Facebook's platform. Less emphasis on that scrolling timeline, more emphasis on the groups that you decide to start or join along the way. You can share your thoughts on any of these issues, by the way. Tweet us at Central Time WPR. Coming up Monday on Central Time, a lot of local newspapers have closed down in recent years. A journalism expert tells us that that's creating news deserts, and that has bad results for communities and oversight of their local governments. Wisconsin's new DNR boss joins the show for a look at conservation efforts and how we pay for them around the state. And after the attacks on September 11, 2001, hundreds of airline passengers were stranded in Gander, Newfoundland. We'll meet a Wisconsinite who was there and take a look at a new musical about their experiences. All that and look at some of the latest news. It's coming up Monday here on Central Time.